Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today is the end of my first week teaching in a brand new series that I've got entitled The Christian First Aid Kit. This is an abbreviated teaching from a teaching that I did 25 or 30 years ago entitled The Christian Survival Kit. There were 16 teachings in that series. I've condensed it down to 6 teachings. And so this is just a small portion of that. And we're actually making 2 offers where we're offering this new series entitled The Christian First Aid Kit. There's 6 teachings in that. And we're also offering our original series, which is this album right here. And there's 16 CDs in this album. And, of course, it's 25, 30 years ago. You'll have to take the quality that the things were back then and take them as they are. But, you know, it's interesting. I've listened to some of this and, you know, I'm saying basically the same things, but I've improved, I think, over 30 years period of time. And it was interesting to me to hear some of those things. So we're offering both of these, the entire Christian Survival Kit and the Christian First Aid Kit this week. Today is my last day to teach on the first teaching in this new Christian First Aid Kit. And basically, I've taken this from John 14:1, where the Lord said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." This was spoken to his disciples the night before his crucifixion. They were going to enter into a terrible time, and yet he gave them a command not to let their heart be troubled. And basically, I've just been trying to tear down and destroy this wrong impression or wrong thinking that even a lot of Christians have about that you can't control your emotions and that you have to just be devastated and hurt every time something happens. And if you are like that, if you embrace that doctrine, which I believe is incorrect, in a sense, you put a lot of names on it, but that's a humanist doctrine. It's just making us as if we are only human, and it doesn't reflect that there is a God part of us that can operate above the same level that everybody else in this world operates on. And there's a lot of people that just believe that we just cannot cope and that there's certain things that we ought to be devastated over. You know, I remember that some things happened. I won't tell you what they are. I'm not going to go into detail, but there were some things that happened to Jamie and me back in 1996. And it made Paul Harvey's worldwide news broadcast. He says, "This is the worst thing I've ever heard," and told about it. And my staff learned about what happened to Jamie and me through this Paul Harvey newscast. And so anyway, I got up and came in to work the next day. I was going to teach in the school. And I had some of my instructors meet me and they said, "Oh, we've already canceled all of your classes. We've taken care of everything. We heard about what happened. And we've taken care of it. You don't even have to come in today." And I said, "Well, I want to come in." I said, "I want to go ahead and minister." I said, "I was already planning on ministering." And they said, "But you can't minister after what's happened to you. You must be devastated." And I said, "I'm not devastated." I said, I'm not going to tell the people what's happened to me. I'm not going to tell them how I feel. I'm going to tell the students about Jesus, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and nothing's changed. And my staff, honestly, I had to nearly fight them to be able to minister in my own school, because they were just saying, "You can't do this. How can you do this?" But I base my life not on what happens to me in the natural and what I feel like in the natural. And forgive me for being blunt and just saying this, but you know, I don't know a nice way to say this. But most people just are controlled by emotions so that they are childish and immature. Now, again, I'm not denying that I have emotions, but I am denying that emotions are going to dominate me. And if something bad happens to me, it's not going to change. It hadn't changed what God told me to do. It's not going to change my actions. I'm going to still do what's right. I don't care how I feel. And there's a lot of people that just think you can't live that way. Well, don't wake me up, because this is how I'm living. And I just think it is childish and immature to allow emotions to dictate to you what you do. You know, I can hear television sets clicking off all over the world right now. Some people are just mad and upset. How dare you say this? And yet, you know, when you were a little kid, you just felt like, you did what you felt like. Part of being a mature person is that you may not want to go to work on Monday, but you get up and do it because it's your job and you've got to do some things. You may want to go skiing. You may want to go out and do something else. There may be all kinds of things that you want to do, but part of maturity is you recognize you've got responsibilities and you just control your emotions. And you do what is right, not necessarily always what you feel like doing. And there are people that when I say things like this and I say it's mature to control your emotions and it's immature not to control your emotions, people get offended at this and hurt and upset and think you're condemning me. I'm saying these things trying to free you. I believe it's bondage. It's bondage to let emotions control you. For instance, I'm sure that every person here has seen a person who's got a real hot temper. And all somebody's got to do is just say something to them, and man, they fly off the handle. And if you've ever been that person yourself, or if you know anybody who is, a person who can't control their emotions like that, I guarantee you they're going to lose jobs, they're going to lose spouses, they're going to lose children, they're going to have problems in their relationship. And some people would think, well, see, that's just free. They're just expressing themselves. No, it's bondage. It'll destroy your life if you can't control your emotions. Now, see, some people listen to what I'm saying right now and say, oh, yeah, I agree with that. That's extreme. But on a lesser scale, you let your emotions control you. If you're discouraged, you just go around and you're in a funk and everybody knows that you're in a funk and you just let these emotions out. You think, well, I'm not being a hypocrite. I'm just being honest. Well, if you're born again and spirit-filled, you are a hypocrite because the truth is that in your spirit, you have love, joy, peace. You have faith in your spirit. And instead of letting the spirit man dominate you, you're letting your old carnal self and how you feel dominate you. I'm telling you, you got to get beyond emotions if you are ever going to see the supernatural power of God consistently work in your life. Look at this passage here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. He says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind." Now, the word Gentiles here, we don't use that a lot today, but in our vernacular, we would say, don't walk like a lost man or a person that doesn't know the Lord, a person that doesn't have a relationship with the Lord. And then he says, don't walk in the vanity of your mind. The word vanity here means the inutility and the transientness. Inutility just means you aren't using it. You aren't utilizing what you've got. Transientness means your mind isn't focused. In other words, you ought to be focused on God and not just, you know, the way most people are, just hit and miss and inconsistent in their life. They're just letting things rule them. You ought to have a goal and a focus, and you need to control your life, control your mind, control your emotions. And then in the next verse, it says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. You know, these verses, I spent over a year meditating on these four verses. I spent 1 year studying this, and this changed my life. So I've got a lot to say, but just I'm going to real quickly say that you can be alienated, completely cut off and separated from the life of God through the blindness, the ignorance that is in your heart. The truth is God loves every one of us. God has a perfect plan for every one of us, but that doesn't mean it's going to automatically come to pass because you have to walk in a certain way. You can't walk like an unbeliever. You got to renew your mind. You got to start trusting God or you'll be alienated from God. And in the next verse it says, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Now these words, lasciviousness and some of these things, don't mean a lot to us today, but this is just saying who being past feeling. In other words, there is a proper use of feelings. You know, if we were all just robots that didn't feel anything, if all it was intellectual and that we didn't have any emotions, it is true that emotions sometimes can hurt and that you can suffer rejection and you can suffer pain and worry and things like that. But also, emotions are the spice of life. I mean, life wouldn't be worth much if you couldn't love and feel somebody love you back, and if you couldn't feel joy, and if you didn't have anticipation and excitement about things. Emotions are the spice of life and also the worst part of life. Emotions are what makes us who we are, and at the same time, emotions drive a lot of people to suicide and do terrible things, jealousy and anger. So emotions are good and bad. Emotions really spice up our life. If we didn't have emotions, if you could imagine like a Star Trek, a Spock type of existence to where there was no such thing as emotion, I guarantee you life wouldn't be near as fun as it is. It may not be potentially as damaging or as hurtful, but emotions are good. But this says, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness. In other words, God gave us emotions. There is a proper use of them, but you can go past mere feelings to where you are into lasciviousness. And the word lasciviousness is talking about just an extreme, in a sense, like a demonic control of your emotions to where we are driven by emotions. Emotions are given to us to enjoy. God gave us the capacity of emotions, but He never intended emotions to rule and dictate and dominate us the way that we see it today in our society. And there's a lot of reasons for this, but I think part of it is that we aren't in relationship with God. We aren't finding our joy and our satisfaction in God. We're finding it in all these carnal things. And so therefore, people are just overindulging themselves. They've gone past normal feelings into excess. There's just people today that everything is about excess. They do everything over the top. And you know what? Some people think, well, I'm just being free. No, you're just being stupid. You're just in bondage, amen. It is bondage to let your emotions dominate you. Now, again, I'm not saying that we become a Spock and deny that we have emotions, but I don't let emotions dictate to me. I'm a very emotional person. Some people don't think so, but I am. I feel a lot of things. I can get teary-eyed. I won't tell you some of the things I do. It's embarrassing. Somebody make fun of me. But I'm a very emotional person, but I only indulge the emotions that I like. I don't let fear and doubt and grief in. I can feel them, and your feelings are like, your emotions are like your feelings, like in your finger. If you were to put your hand on a hot stove, before you have time to sit there and think about it and process it and just logically react, your feelings cause you to recoil and pull your hand back before you get it totally destroyed. Your feelings like that are good. And if you couldn't feel pain, if you couldn't feel heat, then you know what? You could wind up burning your hand and doing a lot of damage. But because of those feelings, it causes you to recoil. I believe that our emotions are similar to that. God gave us this capacity to feel depression and to feel fear and to feel worry and to feel care and things. We have the capacity to do that, and it's kind of like a warning system to us. When you start feeling those things, it's telling you that something is wrong. I don't ignore those things. If I ever start feeling depressed and discouraged and worrying about things, I don't deny that I feel that way. Some people misunderstand what I'm saying. I am not saying that I deny that I have negative feelings, but I use them as a warning signal. I recognize that it says in Psalm 16, verse 11, that in the presence of the Lord there is fullness of joy. At His right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Also, it's either 1st or 2nd Peter chapter 1, verse 8. It says that, yet believing we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And there's many other scriptures that go along with that. If you are really walking with the Lord, there will be peace and joy and fulfillment. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3 says, the Lord will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon Him because he trusts in Him. And so those are positive emotions. If I start having a lack of peace, if I start having worry and fear, I don't deny that they exist, but I will deny them to dominate me. And I will gain information from it. I'll say, man, this must be because I'm not keeping my mind stayed on the Lord. That's why I don't have perfect peace. And so I use those negative emotions to say, well, I'm gonna rekindle my efforts. I'm going to spend more time studying and praying and worshiping the Lord and doing things like this. I don't deny that I have negative emotions, but I do deny that I have to live there. I know what causes these negative emotions. If I don't have peace, it's because my mind isn't stayed on the Lord. And so I will turn around and start focusing on the Lord more, recognize I've been drawn off a track, and I get back focused on the things of the Lord. So see, I don't deny that I have emotions, but there is a right use of emotions, and it is wrong when you let emotions just dictate to you. I've actually had people come up in a prayer line before and say, would you please pray for me because I'm depressed? And I'll say, well, what's wrong with you? And they say, well, nothing. I don't have a reason. I just feel this way. And I tell you, that's the spirit of slap wants to come all over me. I just, if I was God, I'd just drop kick them off into space. And I know some of you don't like that, but I just can't understand a person that lets an emotion dominate. Now, if you have a reason for it, if somebody died or something, there's things I could minister to you. And that'll be the next thing we teach in this series about put things into perspective and realize that, man, they've gone to be with the Lord. They're in a better place. And there's things you can do. But there are some people that are depressed and discouraged and they don't even have a reason for it. They just feel it. Well, what I'd say to you is pull your thumb out of your mouth and grow up. And just take control of your emotions. And I know that there's some people watching right now who say, but you're denying the fact that some people have a chemical imbalance and that this is just a physical, natural thing that makes you this way. And that's the reason that you can take these pills and it'll change your mood. I admit that there are mood-altering drugs. But I think that what they're doing is treating a symptom instead of the cause. I don't think it is your chemical imbalance that causes you to be depressed, but it is your depression that causes a chemical imbalance. And so therefore, you can treat that with some medicine, or you could go to the root of it, which is that if you keep your mind stayed on the Lord, He will keep you in perfect peace. If you were really focused on the Lord and thinking about what He has told you and His promises and how He'll bring you through these things, you could be in perfect peace regardless of what's going on in your life. And I know that what I'm saying is not typical. I know that even most ministers would sit there and criticize this and talk about it. But again, I'm basing this. I've used a lot of scriptures. I'm quoting a lot of scriptures. And I can show you just example after example after example of people who went against what was normal, what was natural. They believed God, and because of it, they came through, and they were totally victorious. Did you know in the natural, David, it was somebody could have criticized him and said, something's wrong with you not to be afraid of Goliath. David was a runt. Goliath was a giant. Everybody else ridiculed him. Did you know that David had lots of reasons to be depressed and discouraged and over there sucking his thumb and talking about even my older brother, Eliab, criticized me and said I was being irresponsible and who did I leave those few sheep with? David had lots of reasons to be depressed and discouraged. And yet David encouraged himself in the Lord. David looked at things and instead of being fearful and just, you know, approaching Goliath with all this fear and worry, man, he ran toward Goliath. He says, you've defied the armies of the living God, you uncircumcised Philistine. He was talking to the fact. See, again, some people pass this over and miss it, but when he said, you uncircumcised Philistine, circumcision was the sign of the covenant. He says, you uncovenant person, you person that doesn't have a relationship with God, I'm the one that has the relationship with God. He was looking at things through the eyes of the covenant. He had an anointing on him. He had been meditating on the promises of God. It wasn't a fair fight. It wasn't close to being a fair fight. Goliath never stood his chance, amen. He was just a natural man, a huge natural man, but David was anointed with the power of God. He was a mighty king. Other people looking at him see, didn't see that, but David looked at everything through the covenant. And because of it, he was able to bridle his emotions when everybody else, his own brothers rejected him, the king rejected him, everybody else rejected him. He went by what God said. And he was encouraged instead of discouraged. He ran towards Goliath instead of just barely going up towards him. Man, he was bold. He was strong. He said, "Today I'm going to cut your head off and feed it to the fowls of the air." That wasn't in the natural. I'm telling you that I could just take David and you can go all the way through Scripture and find the people who we look at as being heroes, people who succeeded, people who God used, and if they would have just indulged their emotions, if they would have approached things as only physical, natural human beings, you never would have heard of them. They never would have succeeded. They wouldn't be written in the Word of God. But the people that we consider successful, it's because they are able to operate above what the average person does. They're able to go beyond their own hurts and their feelings, and they just do what's right. When Jesus hung on the cross, I guarantee you, he didn't have goosebumps going up and down his spine, feeling such love and compassion for people. Jesus was hurting. I guarantee you, in the natural, there were reasons for him to react and to be bitter and angry towards the people that mocked him, that lied about him, that accused him. They blindfolded him, struck him on the face and said, "Prophesy if you're the king who's struck you." He could have gotten into the flesh. He could have used his power and he could have sat there and have told them things. When Jesus died for us, he didn't do it because it felt good. He did it because it was a choice. You can choose to walk in the things of God. You can choose to love a person. I was in Charlotte ministering to a guy and he just spit a big old wad of chewing tobacco right in my face. And you know what? I didn't feel warm fuzzies all over when he did that. I wanted to punch the guy's lights out. But I've got a choice. And I realized that even though I felt one way, that isn't the way that Jesus would be. Jesus turned around to the very people who crucified him and said, "Father, forgive them." So if Jesus could do that, I knew that his love on the inside of me could still love this guy who had spit right in my face. And you can ask the people who were with me. He spit in my face. I wiped it off, never missed a word in the sentence, and just kept telling him about the love of God and about how God wanted to set him free. Some people would think, "You can't do that." Well, that's why I did it. You can't tell me that I can't do it. You can go contrary to your emotions. And if you're one of those that is so dominated by how you feel that if somebody does something to you, it just makes you respond and act to them, you are in bondage. You've gone past the normal use of feelings. You are now dominated and controlled by feelings. That's immature. It's childish. I don't take any pleasure in saying those things. I'm not saying it to hurt anybody. I'm trying to say it to change the standard and let us know that, no, you do not have to be dominated and controlled. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled." If he gave us that command, then I can do it. And as much as lies within me through the power of the Holy Ghost, I am going to not let my heart be troubled. How am I going to do that? I'm going to believe God. I'm going to trust Him. And you can do the same thing. You know, this is the end of our first week. Today's our last day to offer you this first teaching in this new 6-part series that I have out. Our announcer is going to give you information about that. And I encourage you to call or write today. Remember, it's our last day to offer the first teaching in this set, so please call or write, and then join me again next Monday as we continue the gospel truth.
The faithful support of partners makes this program possible. We invite you to join Andrew as he spreads the message of God's unconditional love and grace. Write, call, or visit our website and become a partner today.
Today's complete teaching, titled Christian First Aid Kit, was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. This series has over 6 hours of teaching and is available on either audio CD or DVD. Each is available for a gift of any amount. This teaching is also available on DVD as seen on our daily TV program. You can receive it for a gift of any amount when you contact us. Or you can get the Christian First Aid Kit as part of the Survival Kit package. In addition to the Christian First Aid Kit, this package also includes Christian Survival Kit, a 16-part series. Together, these two series provide 22 hours of teaching. The entire package has a catalog value of $150. But today, you can get the Survival Kit package for a gift of just $125 or more when you order. The first audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD titled Christian First Aid Kit Part 1 free of charge.
Let me remind you that today is our last day to offer you this first teaching in this six-part set entitled the Christian First Aid Kit. This first teaching covers John 14:1, and we offer the entire album. I'll continue to offer that for the next few weeks, but we offer each individual teaching free of charge to those people who could not or would not pay for it. So you can get each teaching individually one at a time. Today's our last day to offer you the first teaching in this series free. You can still get the entire album if you will ask for it, but today's our last day. So if you would like to receive that free of charge, please call or write today and request this teaching, part one in the Christian First Aid Kit.
We'd like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled Effortless Change for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Colorado Springs, Colorado for Charis Bible College Campus Days, March 9th through the 11th, and in Orlando, Florida for a Gospel Truth Seminar, March 31st through April 2nd. He'll also be in the Washington, D.C. area for a Gospel Truth Seminar, April 14th through the 16th, in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, for Pastor Bob Yandian's Ministers Conference, April 27th through the 29th, and in Atlanta, Georgia, for a Gospel Truth Seminar, May 5th through the 7th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
And there was this man on the phone saying, your husband's had a wreck.
I was in a head-on accident. I was told later it took him two jaws of life to get me free from my truck cab.
His ribs were busted, his sternum was busted. One hip was crushed and the femur was broken real close.
And the nurse had told my wife later, says people younger would die.
It was like Satan did his absolute best to kill my husband.
I chose to live.